The Philadelphia Foundation supports WHYY. The Philadelphia Foundation helps private foundations by partnering on administration and grant making. Private foundations also can establish a donor-advised fund to save time and reduce costs. What's more, the Philadelphia Foundation also offers solutions when a private foundation has run its course. The Philadelphia Foundation, 215-563-6417 or philafound.org.
A national Republican group is running ads in the Pennsylvania Supreme Court race attacking a Democratic candidate from Philadelphia. I'm Dave Heller, and this is NewsWorks Tonight. WHYY's Dave Davies reports that the spot focuses on Judge Kevin Dougherty's role in a notorious criminal case.
The political stakes are high in the Pennsylvania race. With three of the Supreme Court's seven posts up for grabs, the election may determine partisan control of the court for years. For the first time, a national group has weighed in. The Republican State Leadership Committee has produced a hard-hitting ad against Kevin Dougherty, a family court judge in Philadelphia.
Dougherty shockingly allowed a young girl to be placed in the custody of a convicted murderer. The heartbreaking outcome.
Years of beating, starvation, and weeks on end of confinement.
The word horrific is not sufficient.
Dougherty's excuse? He had no recollection of knowing about the murderer's background. No.
The claims in the ad are accurate according to press accounts, but missing some important context. In 2002, Dougherty did place the girl in the custody of her aunt at the recommendation of city social workers, a child advocate, and the girl's mother. It was 9 years later that the aunt, Linda Ann Weston, was arrested for abusing the child and keeping four mentally disabled adults in a basement dungeon. A Dougherty campaign statement says he was never informed of the woman's criminal history and never accused of wrongdoing in the case or subsequent litigation. Spokesman Ken Snyder says when evaluating the ad, consider the source.
This is a right-wing group funded by wealthy special interests known for airing misleading and sleazy negative advertising against Democratic candidates across the country. This is just more of the same about a good judge.
The ad sponsor, the Republican State Leadership Committee, did not respond to requests for comment. Dave Davies, WHYY News.
In the wake of headlines about shootings on college campuses, some Philadelphia area schools are beefing up armed security, as WHYY's Laura Benshoff reports.
Last week, Princeton University announced it's making rifles available for security officers. This week, Villanova University in Delaware County announced its plan to train and arm some of its campus security force. Chris Kowalski is a spokesman for Villanova. He says regular security can't respond as quickly as police.
Campus security officers can't use lights or sirens and can get stuck in traffic on their way to respond to a call.
With the new security program, Villanova's officers will be plugged into local law enforcement databases and 911, he says. About a fifth of the 75-person security staff will become sworn police officers. Robin Hattersley, executive editor of Campus Safety magazine, says there's been movement towards better security coordination on campuses.
We saw a big push after Virginia Tech. It's not only about guns and ammunition for campus police, but also things like emergency notification. If an incident occurs, the students are notified so that they can protect themselves.
Armed officers will start protecting Villanova's 10,000 students in fall 2016. I'm Laura Benshoff, WHYY News.
Philadelphia Police Commissioner Charles Ramsey is retiring at the end of the year after spending 8 years as the leader of the city's force of 6,500 officers. WHYY's Bobby Allen sat down with Philadelphia Daily News crime reporter David Gambacorta. They discuss what made Ramsey a remarkable top cop and why his successor has big shoes to fill.
In sort of broad strokes, what do you think most city observers and observers of the department in Philadelphia will remember Ramsey for?
The impact he had on violent crime. You know, that's the reason he was brought here, was to drive the crime numbers down. They were sky high at a time that most large cities in America were seeing their crime rates going to all-time lows. So he was, you know, largely successful in driving down crime numbers to a level people felt was more comfortable for a modern American city. But I think beyond that, his legacy, I think, will be attached a lot to his efforts to drag the department into the 21st century in terms of policies and procedures. And just in the approach of policing in general, getting officers on the ground in communities and focusing more on relationship building than sort of being a law enforcement presence.
As you know, Ramsey's expressed dismay on a number of occasions about corrupt cops getting their jobs back through arbitration. Can you talk about his approach to rooting out bad cops in the city?
I think the Philadelphia Police Department has a very complicated discipline process. Internal investigations have to be conducted into allegations, and that system has a number of checks and balances. So it could take a very long time before the commissioner has clearance, in so many words, to fire an officer. And what Ramsey was known for here and in other cities was not wanting to wait for that process to play itself out. If he saw an allegation that he felt had merit and that was particularly damaging to the police department's reputation, he would move quickly and fire these officers. The problem in Philly is that the union could file a grievance over those firings. The case would go to arbitration. And if an arbitrator would say, well, okay, was this officer fired before a full investigation played out, or in the case of the narcotics officers, were these guys fired for an allegation that they were ultimately acquitted of, they can get their jobs back. It's something that Ramsey was certainly not surprised by, but you could see over the years how it would eat away at him.
What has been the most consistent and, I guess, resonant criticism you've heard? Has it come from, I guess, more recently, activists like, you know, folks from the Black Lives Matter movement or from other grassroots organizations? Or what is a consistent line that you're hearing against Ramsey? Is there anything that comes to mind?
That's tough. You know, it's funny because I think for as long as he's been here and as long as he's been in policing, you would expect him actually to have more criticism than what he's probably endured, at least in Philadelphia. You know, if you're the guy at the top, you're going to be the natural focal point for anger. He certainly faced a lot of criticism over stop and frisk, which is, again, another complicated issue. It's not exactly a policy that they're encouraging cops to use, but it's something that happens in a lot of minority communities. So he's faced, I think, criticism over that, certainly over transparency, although I think he's done as much as he could do to allay people's concerns. And then, most recently, I think with the Black Lives Matter movement, you know, they definitely expected to see more out of him. I think they wanted more of a real dialogue with him and were frustrated by the inability to get that going. You know, it's sort of the nature, I think, of a movement like that that is as sensitive as it is, and he gets that. But I'm sure there are people within the activist movement that feel like he could have done more to hear their concerns, maybe privately, and try to come to maybe a better understanding.
Now, all eyes are turning to who will succeed Ramsey. Whoever that person is, what is Ramsey leaving them?
I think the one of the questions Ramsey's successor should probably be thinking about is how to avoid ending up in the situation that Ramsey was in so many times here, which was having to confront corruption allegations. You know, violent crime will always be a concern in a big city, and you're always going to have to try to be on your toes and staying ahead of where you think your problems are going to be at. But as Ramsey's pointed out many times, one of the biggest problems they faced was questions over their credibility, and that stems from people not having faith because they see repeated headlines about corruption. So I think the next commissioner is going to have to really commit to looking within the department and identifying the areas where they have seen repeated problems.
WHYY's Bobby Allen speaking with Philadelphia Daily News crime reporter David Gambacorda about Police Commissioner Charles Ramsey, who's retiring at the end of the year. Hopefully there won't be much police presence needed at the corner of 2nd and Erie Streets in Philadelphia, the site of a new red light camera. WHYY's Tom McDonald explains.
This is the 28th intersection for red light camera enforcement. Corrine O'Connor, deputy executive director of the agency, says the decision to put cameras there came for many reasons.
We went out and did a study, and there was a high rate of red light running. Once we went to that intersection, we noticed there's a mix of commercial, residential, a couple schools, which usually make that a good area.
O'Connor says there's no fines yet if you're caught running the light at the intersection.
45 days is the warning phase. After the 45-day period, we'll start issuing real violations.
That phase ends December 1st. For the fiscal year ending on March 31st, the Parking Authority reported just under $13 million in revenue from the intersections in the city that have cameras. I'm Tom McDonald, WHYY News.
What civic issues weigh on the minds of Philadelphia's 4th and 5th graders? As WHYY's Kevin McCory reports, The two top mayoral candidates had the chance to find out today at an event hosted by the Rendell Center.
Gathered at Philadelphia School District headquarters, some Isaac Shepherd Elementary fourth graders reminded Democrat Jim Kenney and Republican Melissa Mary Bailey of the need for more extracurriculars in schools. Fourth grader Abdul Luna from Kensington read a letter he wrote to the candidates.
We could really benefit from art, music, gym, sports, recess games, and many more things too. First, I think we should have these things because it will make our students more social and active with each other.
Mary Bailey pledged she'd return needed resources to schools no matter action at the state level.
So I think it's really important that we invest in those. And that means sometimes we're not going to be able to do other things that we used to do in the city. But it's really important to fund the schools because if we don't do that, then you guys aren't going to be able to reach the potential that I know you can.
From Fern Rock, Howe Elementary fourth grader Diamond Neville wondered what the candidates would do about gun violence.
I had a family member hurt by guns. I think the next mayor should ban guns in the city and the world. Guns hurt too many people. It affects me a lot. It makes me sad. I think if there were strict gun laws, then people would not do as much crime.
Kenny gave this response.
Let me give you a really cold and cruel fact of life, and I hate to do this, but I have to do it. We can't control guns in Philadelphia because Harrisburg refuses to control guns in Pennsylvania. People in Harrisburg vote continuously to keep us having the ability to control guns, to control straw purchases, and to control people who use guns in the wrong way.
The students also questioned the candidates on neighborhood safety, urging that more police be hired, and hoped that the city would address unsafe playground conditions. Afterwards, former Governor Rendell, whose group organized the event, said it's important to engage students in civics early.
People said, oh, you shouldn't do elementary school, do high school. High school's too late. We need to imbue these kids with a sense of what their rights and responsibilities under the Constitution, under our laws are. And these kids are smart.
For WHYY News, I'm Kevin McCrory.
Taking a look at this evening's headlines, a college in Lancaster has become the latest school to rescind an honorary degree awarded to Bill Cosby. The board at Franklin and Marshall College voted last week to revoke the honor given 15 years ago when he was the commencement speaker. A spokesperson says the school is also looking into returning the $100,000 that Cosby gave to create a scholarship that's funded several students' graduate work. Philadelphia Mayor Michael Nutter may be in hot water with the city's Democratic Party after he endorsed an independent candidate for city council. Mayor Nutter, who is also a Democratic ward leader, is backing independent Andrew Stober for an at-large council seat. A spokesperson for party chair and Congressman Bob Brady says that's a violation of party bylaws. Mostly clear skies, 64 degrees at 6:19. This evening's forecast, clear skies, low overnight, 52 degrees. Sunny tomorrow, Wednesday's high in the mid-70s. Still ahead, filmmaker and author Takufu Zubiri discusses his new documentary about the history of modern Africa.
We've been approaching Africa wrong. Because we've been saying, what can we do for Africa? When the real question is, what can we do with Africa?
NewsWorks Tonight continues on WHYY.
What happened to the membership drive? I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. The drive is not over. Instead, we're taking 27 hours without pledge breaks right in the middle of the campaign. But we still have work to do. If we can bring in 1,000 pledges by 3 o'clock tomorrow during this quiet phase, we'll receive an additional $25,000 from Suzanne Roberts to invest in programming for you. Visit WHYY.org to show your support. Thanks very much. Make that pledge right now.
The Philadelphia Orchestra supports WHYY. The Philadelphia Orchestra presents the music of George Gershwin. John Kimura Parker plays the original jazz band arrangement of George Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue. Also, Marin Alsop conducts Shostakovich's Fifth Symphony. Gershwin tickets at philorc.org or at 215-893-1999. October 29th, 30th, and 31st at the Kimmel Center, Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue with the Philadelphia Orchestra.
Jefferson supports WHYY.
The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Jefferson is a National Cancer Institute designated center whose physicians and scientists seek to transform scientific discoveries into more precise diagnosis and individualized treatments to help improve outcomes and quality of life for patients with cancer. To schedule an appointment or for more information, 1-800-JEFF-NOW or jefferson.edu. Jefferson.
Welcome back to NewsWorks Tonight. I'm Dave Heller. The continent of Africa remains a mystery to the millions who only know about it through news accounts of war, disease, and poverty. Africa in the 21st century is understood in the context of its history, as told in the award-winning feature-length documentary, African Independence. Joining me now is Dr. Tekufu Zubiri, professor of race relations and professor of sociology and Africana studies at the University of Pennsylvania, as well as director, producer, writer, and narrator for African Independence. Dr. Zubiri, thanks for joining us on NewsWorks Tonight.
Thank you. It's really a pleasure to be here.
And now let's add new titles. Author of the companion book, African Independence, How Africa Shapes the World. And while we're at it, known to our WHYY audience as host of the PBS television program, History Detectives. So let's try to confine our conversation to this wonderful documentary. It opens with a young President Obama saying, "I see Africa as a fundamental part of our interconnected world." The film was completed in 2013, obviously too soon for the president's recent trip to Africa. How has Africa changed in that intervening time? Is it more a fundamental part of our interconnected world now than when he made that speech?
It's an increasingly growing part of our interconnected world. Africa has some of the fastest growing economies on planet Earth right now. Africa has a growing population in that age group, which will make Africans almost 25% of all of the working age population on planet Earth after about 2030 or 2040. So Africa is essential, just as China was some 20, 30 years ago. People on Wall Street know this. Invest in Africa.
China, as you mentioned, certainly knows that they've been investing economically, and they were also part of training Africans involved in their liberation movements.
China has a tremendous history in Africa. So China, unlike the U.S., supported the African independence movements. China developed very close relationships with many African governments and personalities, so that today, the largest investor on the African continent is not the United States. It is not the Economic Union or the European Union. It is China.
Now, once upon a time, that would have sent shudders down the backs of Americans when we were locked in the Cold War.
Yeah, when we were locked in the Cold War, a specific question was being asked of African leaders. Are you on the side of the East with socialism, or are you on the side of the West with capitalism? And whatever your decision is, you're going to be not only defining your friends, but your enemies.
So there was no third option, independent.
There was no third option that anyone could practically follow. And so what this meant is if you were on the wrong side of the Cold War, you were not going to be developing your economy.
But occasionally that meant if you aligned with the West and specifically the U.S. was invested in maintaining the status quo, even if that meant supporting those in power who were not of a mind to see Africa become truly independent.
Exactly. And this is the case in Southern Africa. So in Southern Africa, which has several nations which were late blossomers, they kind of got their independence in the second phase, right?
Ghana was first, 1957.
Ghana was first in sub-Saharan Africa in 1957. And, you know, we need to put that in context because Egypt had received its independence. Libya had received its independence. The Sudan had received its independence. So there were independent African nations. However, none in sub-Saharan Africa had received independence, and no country on the continent of Africa had the vision of a Kwame Nkrumah, who said the independence of Ghana is meaningless unless it is connected to the independence of the entire continent of Africa. And so this movement spread like a wildfire. That's why I think that the African independence movement was
a success. It eliminated the old forms of colonialism. Now, some of the problems which persist have some of their roots in colonialism, but a lot of their roots in the now. And it is a question of the character of some people who have had leadership positions, but it's also the character of the international world as they've interacted with Africa. We've been approaching Africa wrong because we've been saying, what can we do for Africa? When the real question is, what can we do with Africa? Collaboration needs to be the word. It's not that Africa is poor. It's that Africa's people are poor. The continent is extremely rich, and it's going to be a more unified Africa because Africans themselves recognize that they must form regional organizations. They must get beyond this way where they cannot negotiate effectively with the large economic players in the world.
Doctor, thanks so much for joining us on NewsWorks tonight.
It's really been my pleasure.
Dr. Tekufu Zubiri, Professor of Race Relations and Professor of Sociology and Africana Studies at the University of Pennsylvania, and director, producer, writer, and narrator for African Independence. Finally this evening, there's nothing that can fan the flames of discontent like bad phone service. And last week, WHYY's Joe Hernandez brought us the story of Jim DeJohn's struggles with his home phone service in Hopewell Township, Cumberland County, New Jersey. Here's a reminder.
Their landline phone has had problems ever since they moved there. It would either fill up with static or go dead altogether, and it would happen if the weather was bad or the county workers mowed the lawn too close to the connection box or for no apparent reason at all.
You feel like you're disconnected from the rest of the world when you're out here, and if somebody was trying to get a hold of you and they can't get a hold of you, and you didn't even know. We didn't even know.
Now, this story prompted one online commenter to write, "The problem in some areas is that population density is so low that it isn't worth it for these companies to come in and upgrade only to service a handful of people." And Carol Jellish weighed in as well, saying, "Anywhere you live, there are different issues you have to deal with. At least I deal with mine at the beach." That's all for tonight's show. NewsWorks Tonight is produced by Shai Ben Yaakov and Kimberly Haas. Leave your comment or listen back if you missed part of the show at newsworks.org. Even with the Pennsylvania budget impasse dragging through October, some services deemed essential continue to get state funding, though there is one sector that's been frozen out: nonprofit child welfare providers. We'll talk to heads of those organizations about how they're coping with the stalemate on tomorrow's show. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dave Heller for NewsWorks Tonight.
New Jersey's Clean Energy Program proudly supports WHYY. New Jersey's Clean Energy Program, incentivizing businesses, local governments, schools, and residents to integrate energy-efficient and renewable technologies into their new construction projects, existing building upgrades, and new equipment installation. More information about modernizing in your home and business with support from New Jersey's Clean Energy Program at njcleanenergy.com/WHYY.
Virtua proudly supports WHYY. This is the time of year to sign up for health insurance. When choosing a health insurance plan, it's important to know whether your doctor or hospital is included. If you want to use a Virtua physician, hospital, or outpatient service, you can find out if Virtua is in the plan you're considering by calling 888-VIRTUA-3. That's 888-VIRTUA-3. Virtua proudly supports WHYY.